Hi, everybody. The George Wilder. Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Freedom. This is what I call freedom.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from out of Chicago. Thanks for being with me, folks. Thank you so much. You don't know how much I appreciate your time, because your time is your time. And you want to make sure your time is spent, you know, is spent the way you want it to be spent. If you understand what I'm saying, your time is your time, and you don't want your time wasted. So thanks for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show. The George Wilder Jr. Show, I'm broadcasting, as always, from my studio. I have had people say, George, why don't you get a YouTube thing so you can get, I don't want YouTube, okay? I don't want a video. This is fine with me, because I don't want you guys seeing me doing the show in my underwear or in my pajamas or in my birthday suit. It's so comfortable this way. And I'm in my studio, but so I don't think I would fare well on YouTube, you know, dressed or undressed. You know, I don't think I would fare too well on YouTube. And I'll tell you something, when I do the show, I'm fully dressed, okay? Because I do have people coming into the studio and, you know, chatting and stuff. Sometimes I have guests coming into the studio here, so we have to be clothed. And, you know, and thanks anyway for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's always fun, folks. It's always a good time. And the weather in the city of Chicago, I always start off talking about the weather. I think it's 76 degrees. It is so beautiful out there. It's not hot. It's not humid. It's not steamy. It's just perfect, if you know what I'm talking about. And I hope wherever you are in the world that it's, the weather is perfect where you are and everything is going so well. Everything is so well, so positive. You're happy. You're enjoying life. You're not depressed or sad or lonely or any of that kind of thing. You're just feeling good about yourself and you're just feeling good about your life. And I hope that's what's going on with you around the world, whether you're with your family or friends or you're by yourself. As long as you are happy within yourself, God bless you, okay? And that's a positive thing, because that's what the George Wilder Jr. Show is all about, is making the world a better place while others are trying to destroy it, okay? Other people are trying to destroy it, and I'm talking about politicians, not you, not me, not the children, not us working folks. We're not trying to destroy it. The poor people, they don't have anything to destroy anything with. It's the guys at the top who wants to destroy everything. And my job, and I'm here to try to say, hey, you can't do that. It's more of us than there are of you. And we're going to make sure that you don't destroy our country and to destroy our world, because we are going to get out here and we are going to fight back. We're going to stand up against injustices, even if it is by those who have all the money. All the money. Okay, so I hope I'm trying to start the day out on a good note. I'm positive. I feel good. I want you to be positive and for you to feel good and to spread that positiveness around other people in your circle. You know, we want to kind of spread the happiness around, because, you know, there's too much sadness in the world, folks. There's too much sadness. And we got to find some sort of happiness, some sort of middle ground with, you know, with not being depressed, not being lonely, not being there. But you know what? There's some people out here who are lonely and proud of it and glad to be lonely. I mean, there's some people out here who do not want any friends. They want to be by themselves. And, you know, I say to those kind of people, if that's what you want, if that's what you enjoy, well, then, hey, wow, good. I'm all for it. If you enjoy that type of sedentary life and where you don't want anybody around, or you live alone and you like it, hey, wow, there's nothing else to be said. You like it. We have to love it. So, but basically, you know, if you're out there and you're alone and you don't want to be alone, I mean, there's a bunch of people around. Go to Facebook. A lot of people say, well, Facebook friends aren't really friends. That's a lie. I don't agree with that. I think Facebook friends or any kind of social networking friends can be your actual friends, because there's so many ways that they can actually contact you. They can call you, they can email you, they can, you know, whatever. You can meet them, you know, have a date or something. So they are actual friends. But as anything, you have to be careful and be cautious of people that you meet online, because you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you see a person's photo. Oh, wow, she's beautiful. And it turns out man, you know, who's trying to get you to scam you out of money, putting up a false photograph. Then you got people putting up photographs of themselves 10, 20 and 30 years ago, you know, and then once you finally meet them, you know, oh, wow, that ain't you. But it is the person. I've met people like that. You know, you have a photograph up on Facebook of themselves, a young photograph, a beautiful photograph. But when you meet them in person, they're 30, 40 years older. And that's why I try to tell people, if you're going to put up a photograph or a video of yourself, try to put up something that's more current. So when you, so if you should, it's not, it doesn't always happen, but if you should meet someone on Facebook and you decide to, you know, do a meeting or something somewhere, you know, you will look like the person in your photograph that you posted on Facebook. But because so I have met so many people, folks, on Facebook, just by the photograph, and you see the photograph and you meet them in person, it's like two different people. But actually, in actuality, it's the same person. They've just gotten a lot older, 10, 20, 30 years older. And sometimes when you 10 and 20 and 30 years older from the previous photograph, you don't look like that photograph anymore. I'm not saying that people who get older, you know, are less attractive. It's just that you want to be truthful when you're on Facebook. You know, I mean, there's someone for everybody. That doesn't matter how you look. There's always somebody somewhere for everybody. You know, whether you 20 years old or 120 years old, there's always somebody for somebody. You know, if you're looking for someone, you know, there's always somebody for everybody. Put it that way. But so I would probably say, if you're going to put up a photograph on Facebook, put up a current photograph. Like me and my family, we try to, when we put up a photograph, we try to make it current, even if it looks awful. We try to make it current because that's the way we look right now, today. You know, but there's so many people, you know, put up photographs that does not represent them. Then you've got people putting up photographs, you know. I understand how people, the looks can change over years. Believe me, mine has changed. You want to be current. And you got people, I kind of hate those people on Facebook. They put up these photographs where you only see half their face, you know, or they're looking up over the camera or down the camera, you know. I think those are awful photographs. No matter what you look like, no matter how old you are, put up your current photograph and let us see your entire face. You know, I mean, hey, wow. You know, I mean, there's always somebody in the world who might look a little worse than you. And, you know, a lot of people are apprehensive and about the way they look. So they only put, you know, take a picture and put half their face up there. You know, if you know what I mean, if you have seen those type of photographs. So be yourself and put up a current photograph and put up a photograph that's actually you and no one else. There's nothing wrong with putting up a photograph of your dog or your book or nature. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to put up a photograph of yourself, try to be true to yourself. You know, put up a current photograph and try not to hide what you look like when you put up a photograph on Facebook or any other social networking website. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest today on the show, reportedly here, is Dr. David James. Discover the Magnificent Mind. It sounds good. It sounds good. We'll just wait and see what happens. All righty. It's been a great day, folks. Once again, we were out and about and got some things done. It's nothing like when you're out and about, you're running errands, and you get things done that needed to be done. Today, we were out and we just opened up a bank account for my son, who is now an adult. So we want to help him to get his feet on the ground. We opened up a bank account for him, and that's one of the that's one of many things I've done for him today. We've done for him today, and opening up a bank, and now all he has to do is find somewhere and get some money and put it in. You know, so we got you a bank account now. You got to get some money, right? And so you can save. But we're going to try and help him with that too. So until he gets himself on firm footing. But, you know, when your kid is transferring over from a child to an adult, it's a big change. And I always try to tell my son that it's not a bad thing becoming an adult. I always tell them, because, you know, some kids, they want to stay kids. They want to stay children, but they can't stay children because they grow up and they get older. And they have to make that transition from being a child to an adult. And sometimes that's tough on them. It really is. And you, as a parent, you have to actually explain it to them that it's not a bad thing becoming an adult. You know, and that's what I have been doing for a long time, explaining to him that it's not a bad thing being an adult. And I said, you're an adult now. You're going to have to, you know, hang around adults. You got to stop hanging around children because you're not a child. And your peers now are adults, you know. And I think he understands that, but I think he still has a hard time transferring over. I mean, he missed those days. Of course, he missed those days of summer camp and field trips and all of this kind of thing for children. I said, you could do the same thing as an adult, you know, sports and all this kind of thing. He missed those kind of things as a kid, being treated like, you know, royalty as a kid. He misses that. But, you know, I think every parent should do that. Probably tell the kids that, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all to transfer over from being a child to an adult. And that's why I, you know, set him up a bank account today. You know, he's got a full-fledged bank account in his name. And, you know, he's an adult. He's registered. He's also, what we did today was to register him to vote. Yeah, he's 18. So one of the first things I wanted to do, as you've been listening to the show, I've been railing about these politicians. And one of the things I did today was to register him to vote. He should get his voter's registration card in the mail within a week, maybe 2 weeks. That's what I was told. We were told. So it's been one of those days where we have been trying to let him know that becoming an adult, and I think every parent should say this to the kids who are transferring over from a child to an adult, that is not a bad thing. It really isn't. I tell them, you know, I said, well, you can't keep watching a Bugs Bunny. You're going to have to start watching something that's geared toward adults. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to make that transition because they're so used to, or you can't watch Barney Channel 11 or Sesame Street. I mean, you've outgrown that. But, you know, sometimes I still let him turn to those programs, even though he's, you know, aged out of that kind of thing. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, talking about my son becoming an adult and him and getting him registered to vote and getting him a bank account. He has it. I just have to try to get him to focus on it, because if he doesn't focus on it, then he will not have a bank account again. If he doesn't pay attention, if he doesn't act as if he wants it, if he winds up closing it because he takes all the money out because he wants to go buy some bubble gum, it ain't gonna happen. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's a bright, sunny day in Chicago. I guess that's why I'm so bright and sunny, right? Because I'm in my studio, as always, near the lakefront, and we have a great big old window in front of me, and I'm seeing folks pass me by. Sounds like my life, right? Sounds like my life story, people passing me by, right? All right, we will be right back. Stay right there, folks. drum roll. All right, folks, we're back at the George Wilder Jr. Show in his studio based on the north side of Chicago. I want to say something about Chicago, folks, and we're going to talk about the budget, because come July 1st, the state will be 3 years without a budget. I'm looking at Bruce Rauner right now. He's running an ad for re-election. And if you've been listening to the show, and I hope you have, you know my distaste for this man. He's a Republican, and he's going around lying like a dog about this state. And he's the reason why this state is a mess. Yeah, it was. This state was in needed repair when he took office, but it's worse now. It is really bad now. We are $200 billion in debt because of this governor. But that's another story. And he's going around and lying and I didn't vote for him, but I was I'm going to brag. OK, I was one of the smart ones that didn't vote for this guy because I knew what he was all about. But there are so many people out there who weren't as smart as I was at that time, you know, and we finally got this guy. We got this guy in. We got Bruce Rauner in office for two reasons. He bought the election and people refused to get out and cast their vote. All right, more senators flee Trump care for now. Okay, is Trump care dead? They put off the vote. They were supposed to vote on it, I believe, this Thursday. They put the vote off because they did not have the votes to pass this atrocity. They put the vote off because they did not have enough senators who was going to vote on this thing. You know why? And you know what? Excuse me. You know what? It's the people that did this. You thinking, oh, the Republicans. The Republicans did not do this. It's the constituency of some of these senators in the Senate, in Congress, gotten their asses and said, we don't want this. And if you pass this, you will not be reelected. It is the people. A lot of these politicians try to play down that it wasn't their constituency that had a greater impact on killing this thing, which I think is dead, but the Mitch McConnell says it's not. Trump says it's not, but there's no doubt about it. It's dead in the water, even though they can revise it. They can revise it. But for now, it's dead because they had promised to vote on this thing on Thursday. Now they've called it off. They called it off because they don't have enough support for the bill. And now they're trying to play it off, play off this, play off that, you know, and lying to the public. And we should know better. It's the American public who is responsible for killing this damn bill, not the senators. You know, it's always amazing to me that Donald Trump, I mean, a lot of people voted for this man. I mean, I didn't vote for him. Probably you didn't vote for him, but a lot of people did vote for him because he's president, okay? But a lot of these people voted for him because of some of the things he said he was going to do. Building a wall, that's a lie. That's never going to happen. A repealing Obamacare appears like it's never going to happen. You know, and there's other promises that he has made that are not going to happen. And if you think about it, he still has jobs in his administration to fill that hasn't been filled yet. Why? Because people don't want to work for him. I mean, he's on an investigation. Nobody want to work for somebody who's on an investigation. You might be snagged into the into the courtroom. You might be snagged. You might go to jail. Nobody wants to work for Donald Trump. Well, anyway, more senators flee Obamacare. And the thing about the Republicans, they're trying to sneak this bill through without the American public ever seeing it. That's devious. That was wrong. And now I'm pretty sure when these guys go back to their home state, wherever they're from, and talk to the people at some of these town halls, once again, they are going to get their asses handed to them on this, because a lot of the folks who because this bill is bad for America. This bill will throw millions and millions of people off their health care coverage. And it doesn't care if you are a Republican or a Democrat or if you supported Trump. And a lot of people are saying they supported Trump and now Trump wants to take away their Medicare. And he does. He does. He once said the bill was mean, but he's still going to sign it. I don't, you know, I'm not a Trump fan. I wouldn't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. I don't believe anything that comes out of the mouths of the people in the White House. I don't believe anything comes out of I just don't respect the White House anymore. I don't look up to the White House anymore. For what? All these people do is lie and connive and spin and act as if we, the people of the United States, act as if we're stupid. I mean, they have to be stupid. They have to be stupid to think that we are stupid. But anyway, getting back to Trump care or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, it is not, it's dead in the water as far as I'm concerned because they don't have the votes for it. And I do applaud the American people for standing up against this atrocious bill. However, they can always revise this bill at some point, bring it in again at some point, because they're not going to vote on it because they don't have the votes. If they vote on it and they don't have the votes and the bill dies, then that's it. Obamacare lives. But you know what? They just going to say, hey, we're not going to vote on it. We're going to let it sit for a while again. But this is a failure for Trump, but a win for the American people. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, folks. Let's go here. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. You're on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, the phone call was dropped. All righty. Well, anyway, this thing is not going to, this thing did not pass. It did not pass. It did not pass. It did not pass. All right, we're going to take a slight break right here. What can we do here? We're going to do Keith on Trump.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Trump has promised a news conference Wednesday. I'll believe it when I see it. He has every reason to cancel it or simply ignore his promise. The trick worked with the news conference about his wife's reported immigration irregularities. The trick worked with the news conference he scheduled for December.
All right, here it is. I was talking about the thing a moment ago. Here's where key senators stand on GOP healthcare bill. All right, because we're talking about the healthcare bill here, folks, because this is very, very important because a lot of people are going to be thrown off this thing if it goes through, no matter if it goes through today or next week or next month or next year. You know, the Republicans are determined to repeal Obamacare, and repealing Obamacare means throwing people off their healthcare bill. Okay, let's try this again. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right, you are on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Dr. David James.
Oh, Dr. David James. Did you call before?
No.
Okay, that was somebody else then. All right, no problem. All right, Dr. David James on the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're going to be talking about something, Discover the Magnificent Mind?
Yeah, my new book, Discover Your Magnificent Mind, Finding Freedom, Prosperity, and Healing.
All right, it sounds good to me, man. That sounds great. Okay, give my audience a little bit of your bio, then we'll get into your book.
Yeah, I am a certified clinical hypnotherapist in Beverly Hills, California. Mm-hmm. I work with people across the whole range of life's challenges to help them make powerful and lasting change. I started my career as a law enforcement officer here in Los Angeles County, then was an Episcopal priest, and finally getting my doctorate in clinical psychology, and then my training as a hypnotherapist. And so I've had quite a diverse background, and it's all come together now, so I can help people make the change they want, whether it's in their personal lives or their professional lives or their finances or their love life, you name it, we can work with it.
Wow, man, that sounds great to me, because I just love people who just love helping other people. And I'm pretty sure that some of the things that you're going to be helping people with through your book, probably some of these things you probably haven't experienced yourself during some time in your life.
Well, exactly. And part of the reason I wrote this book is because not everybody can get to Beverly Hills to work with me, although I do work with clients around the world on Skype. So mm-hmm. I put together kind of years of experience and a very easy to read 100+ page book with practical exercises. So it's like people are working with me here. They can do it from home in their own leisure, their own comfort, and their own time.
Wow, that sounds beautiful. Okay, let's get into your book.
Okay. Like I said, it's called Discover Your Magnificent Mind, Finding Freedom, Prosperity, and Healing. And like I said, it talks about the mind-body connection when it comes to physical healing. It talks about connection to your higher self so that you can have relational and financial healing. It talks about ways to basically accomplish anything you want in your life when you understand how the mind works, and how to use it most appropriately in the ways that are going to serve you the best.
So in need of mind healing, in need of if they needed to discover a magnificent mind, they would pick up your book and they would be able to find themselves just by reading your book?
Yeah. Obviously personal connections are better, and working with somebody who's highly trained in this area as I am. But if you go to my website, which is davidjaneshypnosis.com, you can order the book, or you can just go straight to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And in the book, like I said, you're going to learn about the power of your mind, how to use it, how to put the conscious and the subconscious mind working together in harmony instead of against each other, like so many of us do most of the time. And then use the powerhouse of your mind to make the change that you want in your life.
Yeah, but how does someone recognize the power of their mind? If they're just ordinary people, how would they recognize this magnificent power of their mind? Just, give us a little bit of, a little bit of it.
Well, I say,
depends on what they're want or what they're thinking or what they're about. Does it depend on their drive, their mood, or whatever they might be doing?
Yeah, it depends upon the subconscious programming of the person. You see, we all come into this life kind of as a blank slate. And as we grow up, we have experiences, and then we attach meaning to them, or our parents attach meaning to them, or our authority figures, or our religion, or our politics attach meaning to them. And so we take on ourselves stories about ourselves that may not, now in adulthood, serve us at all well. But they are programs like software that kind of run in the background constantly, diminishing us, dimming our light, keeping us addicted, keeping us poor, keeping us afraid, because are programs that have run. And so when you learn to switch the program to a positive program, and again, we can do this in the book with these exercises, that then people start to see change. And they say, my God, how come it's this easy and nobody told me before?
Yeah, because we have a lot of people out here who actually need motivating. People need to change their behavior. I think people need to change their thinking. You say this book is for them. And I want to say to everybody out there listening, pick up this book. I mean, if you're feeling down, depressed, lonely, you can change your outlook on life. Am I right?
You can absolutely do that. Because, again, if you're down, depressed, and lonely, it means that there are programs operating in your subconscious mind that are keeping you there. So once you learn how to free yourself through the power of your mind, you are able to therefore not be down but up, not lonely but in fulfilling relationship, first and foremost with yourself, right? First and foremost with yourself. And then, like the law of attraction tells us, what you put out is what you get back. So like I said, by flipping the switch and flipping these programs, you are able to then manifest in your life that which you desire.
Yeah, sounds great. How are people reacting to this book?
It's selling well. It's It's been out 3 months now, and so it's in its first quarter of sales. But I have people across the board that are saying that it is making a huge difference in their life. Matter of fact, in Paris, France, I have a friend that bought the book just because, you know, that's what you do when you have friends that have a CD that comes out or a book comes out. She bought the book and gave it to a daughter who was a college student studying psychology to read. She loved it. Like I said, it's only 110 pages, and you can, and there's worksheet information in there, and you can do this. She took it to her college, gave it to her professor in Paris. He liked it so much, it's now part of their introduction to psychology course starting in September when the college year starts again.
That sounds great.
Yeah, so it is easy to read and practical. And I purposely wrote just a tiny book, only 100, 110 pages.
Wow.
So that, because, you know, people just don't read big books anymore. You know, we're listening to downloads or audio or video that.
You're right. People do not read big books anymore. I've learned that the hard way because I publish big books and they don't read them. I'll publish a short story in a minute and they'll go download it like crazy, you know? Right.
Yeah,
people,
that's right. And
people don't read anymore generally. And but they're, I mean, I was just talking about if someone's going to give you a time, you better, they want you to make, they, you better make it worth their time because people are fickle, you know, about what they want and what they want to do. And congratulations,
well,
I think, because, you know,
they
do have a lot of choices, the internet and so on and so on and so on. And I wanted to say what you've been doing, one of your books is a part of the curriculum at a college or university. And that's what I've been trying to do for the longest, man. I've been trying to get my books into some of these public schools or private schools, colleges and universities. And I finally met somebody who has done it. And I am in awe.
Well, and you know, it's just, that's how the mind works. When you set, when you set the programming of the mind into the proper alignment, then the universe conspires to help it happen. So for example, like with me getting into this one university class, you know, how many times would I have to send copies of books to university professors?
Oh, I can't hear you. Something happened. Dr. David James, I can't hear you. Apparently you can't hear me either. Doctor David James?
Hang on a second.
There's a problem. Are you there?
I'm
back. Go right ahead.
I mean, so we had a huge burst of wind here, and then all of a sudden everything went dead. I thought, oh man, here I am talking about everything going right, and then all of a sudden the light goes dead. But we're back.
So these things happen. They happen. So.
So I'm content. So I'm very grateful that this is happening and this work is going on. And I am looking forward to sharing it with your listeners. And like I said, it's only $11. So it's not an expensive book. It's easy for people to connect with and change their life.
Yeah. And I hope everybody listening to the show, the sound of, you know, I'm going to try and get everybody that I know to check out your book, you know, because I believe in something. I try to spread the word, not just the radio show, but in other ways, I try to spread the word about something that I think is going to better their lives, you know, and I think this book is going to do it because you have convinced me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that it's easy to read, and that's another thing that people want. They want something that they can easily just, you know, devour, you know, and that's great. So how do you, if you wanted to compare this book with other books that out there that are similar to this, how would you make your book stand out?
I would say that, I mean, there are, you know, if you go to the self-help section of Barnes & Noble or any bookstore, you just see book after book after book after book. What this is that this is my lived experience. This is my practice. This is my day-to-day work that's distilled in this book. And this book is able to, it's almost like having a session with me in that, you know, you can come into the hypnosis office and, or you can work with me on Skype. But here in this book, you have all the principles, you have the understandings, you have practical exercises you can do right away to learn how even to hypnotize yourself just a little bit to release the blocks to your success, to release the blocks to the things that are keeping you from having your heart, your dreams come true. So in some ways, what makes this book stand out from the many wonderful books out there is that this is like an hour with me in the office based on practical, personal, powerful experience.
Oh, wow. You just sold it. You just sold it to me.
There we go.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was wonderful. And tell us once again, I know you've probably said it two or three times, but tell us once again where we can find your book, give us your website, how we can get in touch with you to learn more and more about this.
Yeah, as I said, my website is one word, David James Hypnosis, DavidJamesHypnosis, DavidJamesHypnosis.com. From the website, I've got blog articles. I've got videos where I teach about what hypnosis is and how the power of the mind can change you. I talk about the services that I offer. You can book a session with me online through Skype. You can come into the office here. And right on the first page, the landing page of the website, is the link to my book, Discovering Your Magnificent Mind, Finding Freedom, Prosperity, and Healing. You just click on it. It takes you right to the order page for Amazon, and you can order the book. So everything you need to be in touch with me to make your life better is available by going to DavidJamesHypnosis.com.
All right, one more question. Are you planning on writing a second or third book?
I am going to write as many books as I can get away with. I've written three books in the last 21 years. If that averages out to every 7 years, I've got something to say. So I hope that I've got something to say a little sooner than that, because this book is doing so well and people are experiencing such a profound change in their lives that I think a sequel is not long in coming.
Okay. All right. Dr. David James on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you so much for doing this show.
Thank you for being with me today.
Bye-bye. All right. Once again, Dr. David James on the George Wilder Jr. Show, talking about discovering your magnificent mind. And folks, go out there and get that book. We will be right back.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
about this budget. We're talking about this healthcare. Pardon me. We're talking about this healthcare bill.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
All right.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about.
All right, we got it straight now. Anyway, we're still talking about this monstrosity of a health bill that the Republicans have now pulled because they know they do not have the votes for this monstrosity, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing, I think. But they can revise it. They can get it through. They're going to try to pass it through without. Sneak it through without anybody else knowing. And okay, here's why key senators stand. Here's where key senators stand on the GOP healthcare bill. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, oh my God, can only lose two Republican votes and still advance the bill. Okay, but I think there's more than two. I think there's five that's defecting. But that's a shame. Only five? Every one of them should be against this bill. But, you know, they're not. I mean, I said this yesterday on the show. Where do people get off not wanting people to go to the doctor? Where do people get off not wanting people to eat or they don't want people to feed their children by cutting SNAP benefits or eliminating SNAP benefits altogether? And these are rich people. Why is it that the rich people seem to always want to step on the poor? I mean, you know, none of this is taking 1 cent out of their pockets. These are just mean, evil, nasty men who just don't give a damn about America. America was not built on millions. America was built on the blood, sweat, and tears of working men and women. And then we get these people, these billionaires and millionaires come in. They want to control the entire, they want to control America. They want to control you. They want to make sure, well, you know, some things I hear in the news when someone says, well, get a job. I do think there are some people who should get a job. There are some people who have taken advantage of the government entitlement programs that probably should be getting a job. But there's people out here who have jobs and they still need medical coverage because their jobs don't have any insurance program for them. And people need to eat, and you know, you don't want people starving to death. People will die, but the Republicans, they don't care. You know, I mean, they don't give two dams if someone dies. You know, they're rich, you're poor, you know, that's the way they see it. And at this case, we have two Americas. We have one that's impoverished. We have one that's, you know, millionaires, billionaires. But the millionaires and the billionaires are squashing the people at the bottom of the ladder, the poor, the working poor, and the middle class. If you're not rich like they are, screw you. You can go to hell. They don't want nothing to do with you. And the irony of all of this, Donald Trump used to be a Democrat. He just changed his affiliation a few years ago. He's 71, and most of his years on earth, he's been a Democrat. Up until a few years ago, up until Obama became president, I guess he decided he didn't like Obama, so he's going to be, I think that was it. He just didn't like Obama, so he changed his affiliation to a Republican. You know, so I think a lot of Democrats have done that, but he used to be a Democrat. Now he's a mean, nasty, rude, lying Republican. All right, Senate Minority Leader, if I can say it, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday delayed a vote on the Republican plan to repeal and replace Obamacare, the American Care Act, until July 4th, until after the July 4th recess, indicating he lacks support to advance the bill. The delay came one day after the Congressional Budget Office estimated that 22 million people will lose coverage under the GOP plan, thanks in large part to massive cuts to Medicaid. They don't want you to see a doctor, folks. The delay buys McConnell, who could only afford to lose two GOP votes, more time to shore up support in his caucus. While many Republicans have firmly expressed support for the bill, many of them, okay, and others who say that they're still reviewing the legislation are likely to vote in favor of it, there remain several holdouts among conservative and moderate factions of the party. Here's a look at what the senators who forced McConnell to postpone the vote currently stand. Let's see what it is. Okay, Susan Collins, she's a Republican. She's opposed to the bill. I want to work with my GOP and Dem colleagues to fix the flaws in the AKA. Okay, that's one of the things the Republicans don't want to do. They don't want to work with the Republicans. I mean, the Republicans do not want to work with the Democrats. But this time, they're being forced to work with the Democrats. Even though Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, these clowns, they do not want to work with the Democrats. But somehow, if they want to get this bill, this awful monstrosity through Congress, they may have to work, hold their nose and work with the Democrats on this. Yeah, they try to push the Democrats out of everything. Obviously, the Republicans control everything. So they try to push the Democrats out of everything, keep them out of meetings and stuff like that, treat them like stepkids, right? And this is a after the 4th of July, I'm hearing they're going to try and reboot this thing. And folks, this thing could pass, totally pass. And like I said, these guys don't give a damn about their constituency. They don't give a damn about their voters who say they don't want this bill. They're doing what the party wants them to do. They're doing what this ignorant ass president want them to do, not what the people who put them in office, whom they are supposed to represent. They're not doing what the voters want them to do. And I say, if they want to pass this monstrosity, let them pass it. Because 2018 is coming up and we can vote their asses out into the streets because of this. Get rid of the representatives who voted against this thing. Get rid of the who voted for this thing. Get rid of those senators who voted for this thing to hurt the American people, to destroy America as we know it. So they might get this thing through. You know, they tried to get it through and it didn't work. And this delay in this Trump care is because of the people. But they won't tell you that. They won't tell you that it's the people of these districts of this country who stopped this bill. They're not going to say that. They're going to try to convince senators whom constituency, the voters, are against this bill. They're going to try to convince senators to go against what their voters think and vote for this bill, even though this bill will take away their constituency's health care. In other words, this is Trump working against his own supporters. This is Trump hurting his own voters, people who voted for him. They're going to lose out more on this than the people who did not vote on this. Because the majority of Trump voters, they're getting Obamacare. they're on the American, they are part of the American Care Act that the Republicans are trying to repeal and replace and throw these people out in the street, because there are people right now saying, I voted for Trump. I voted for him. I'm loyal to Trump. Why? And now he's going to take away my health care. He's going to take away my SNAP benefits. I voted for him. And a lot of people are saying, if you voted for Trump and Trump winds up taking away your happiness, taking away everything that you've been, taking away everything that you've been used to, then that's your fault. That is your fault if something like this is happening. You know, so you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. They're saying that I have 90 seconds left into the show. I don't understand it. It says,
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance.
Mr. President.
Senator from California.
Senator Carper, it's interesting. You talked about Tanzania. It reminds me of a greeting that I've often heard from people who live in various African countries. You've probably heard it. But when you meet someone for the first time, instead of what we would normally say, pleased to meet you, the greeting back is, I see you. I see you. And I think that really...
All right, folks, this show is just for 60 minutes. We are off the air just about. Thanks for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you enjoyed the show. And thanks to my guest, Dr. David James, and his magnificent mind. I mean, pick up that book, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. Son of a bitch. Can't believe it. Only